There's a great story about the 19th century German composer Robert Schumann playing a very difficult piano etude. And when he finished playing, one of his students asked him to explain the piece. So what does he do? Schumann sits down at the piano and plays the same etude a second time. Well, our gospel today seems to be a bit like Schumann's reply, a kind of repeat performance for the disciples who didn't seem to have heard much of what Jesus told them about this first prediction and this first prediction of his passion. And as we have heard the past couple of weekends, Jesus and the disciples are on the move, traveling the whole region of Galilee. And there's a particular urgency to Jesus' work because Jesus is really trying to prepare the disciples for what's to take place: his imminent suffering and passion, death and resurrection. It wasn't the first time that the disciples had turned a deaf ear to Jesus on the subject. They didn't get it then, and they still aren't getting it now. The disciples didn't seem to understand what Jesus said, particularly the bit about rising again. And they were afraid to ask Jesus what it all meant. So rather than asking Jesus any questions, the disciples retreat further in fear and start bickering among themselves about their grand futures. They argue about who's the greatest, who's the best, who's the wisest, who's the most powerful and most influential among them. Little did they realize then that they would indeed suffer ridicule and in the end, martyrdom. And I wonder if they would have argued about who's the best or the greatest or the most powerful if they could have seen the reality of their future. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we should be too hard on these first followers of Jesus, for even we, who have had the benefit of over 2,000 years of Christian tradition, don't always go to Jesus when our lives spin out of control. And as the letter of James reminds us today, sometimes our passions get the better of us. Jealousy and personal ambition become the reference points for our thoughts, our speech, and for our actions in the world. And in the gospel, Jesus outlines for us the great paradox of what discipleship, what following him is all about. Do we wish to be first? If you wish to become first, then become last. Do you seek to attain greatness? Then become small. Do you want to be masters? Then become the servants of those you wish to lord it over. To those people who desire to be first and who want to advance their personal agendas as best or as greatest, Jesus turns their world upside down. Jesus says that our greatness will come from being last, from being the servant of all, and from doing good to those most in need. And to emphasize the point and settle the dispute among the disciples, Jesus picks up a little child and places the child in the midst of them as a symbol of simplicity and powerlessness, and proceeded to teach them yet again about the meaning of his words and actions. For people in Jesus' time, a child was a non-person, someone without power, prestige, social status or public importance. Jesus used the child to exemplify the importance of doing what is just, not for rewards or renown, but because it is right. To be great in the reign of God, Jesus says, one must become the servant of the child, the poor, the needy, the lost. In other words, embrace the helpless, the oppressed, the needy. Seek out the smallest. In a nice way, Jesus was saying, get over yourselves. My friends, I do think that a lot of times we're like the disciples. Though Jesus may be speaking loudly and clearly to us, we still may feel that we are in darkness, that we are confused, afraid, and yes, even proud. However, God desires to take us lovingly into his arms, as he did this little child we hear about in the gospel. And like the child, we have to cry out to God, who will run to pick us up when we fall and hold us in his arms as a good and loving parent. Brothers and sisters, the passion to be great, to achieve, to be number one, is profoundly human. A lot of times we get a great sense of importance by being over others, and can become quite passionate when we feel that someone is in any way diminishing us or dissing us. But my friends, this isn't the way of Jesus. Greatness lies in not being number one or receiving the praise and admiration of the crowd. Greatness is found in that willingness to be the last and the servant of all. In our first reading today, the author of the Book of Wisdom urges us to choose the right path. And Jesus gives us a glimpse of the character of that path, namely embracing the vulnerable in our midst, the defenseless children, the despairing poor, the terrified, the mentally ill, the marginalized, the prisoners, the disabled, the immigrant, the abused, the refugees of war. Brothers and sisters, perhaps we can ask God today to help us to be willing to change our definition of greatness as the world often defines it, to what Jesus calls the disciples and us to a life of loving service for our sisters and brothers. In a particular way today, Jesus asks each of us to put love at the center of our being, to go beyond ourselves. But true disciples of Jesus must be willing to upset the status quo and place themselves at risk for the sake of others. St. Augustine spoke of a true leader as one who walks alongside his people, not lording it over them. One of his most famous statements comes from a homily he preached on the anniversary of his ordination as bishop, when he said, "For you, I am a bishop. With you, I am a Christian." My friends, we gather at the table of the Eucharist each week to remember the value Christ placed in our lives. Christ valued us more highly than he valued his own comfort, more highly than he valued his own life. We become great in God's eyes not only welcoming a child, but also humbling ourselves to become the children that God has called us to be. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of these very painful times in our church, God's word invites us to recommit ourselves to being those humble disciples of Jesus and to follow in his way of suffering and servant love, because that alone brings us healing and peace. Amen.